I'm Ankush. I'm the founder of Eventable.com, the world's first events review platform, and you're listening to the Building Awesome Events podcast. Our guest today is the super active Liz Caruso, CEO of Lisking Events and the Techies Talk Collaborative. Liz is always on the top 10 or top 20 list of women in event tech. She's an active event strategist who over the past 10 years has helped many, many businesses and thought leaders grow their audiences and sell their products through in-person, virtual, and hybrid events. Welcome, Liz. It's such a pleasure to have someone so experienced and also a fellow podcast host with us today.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Wonderful, Liz. Let's start, Liz, at the very beginning and explore how you got here. I saw that you started off really in academia with Columbia University, moving through a variety of roles from career counselor to event management. And you were at Columbia for 5 years. So tell me a little about how the transition to event took place for you and what really attracted you to be an event prof and continue being in this industry.
Yeah, sure. So I started at Columbia in an administrative position at the Career Center. And it was because I thought I wanted to be a mental health counselor and did that first and realized not what I wanted to do with my career. And I had just paid for this wonderful degree and thought, now what? What am I going to do? I took this administrative role really just to figure out, you know, to make some money while I figured out what I wanted to do. And that administrative role happened to be on the event planning team for the Career Center at Columbia. And until then, I didn't realize that event planning could be a career. I was one of those people who was constantly the one you call if you have something you want to put together. I was coming up with these harebrained ideas for events. And so I remember just thinking like, what are these people doing? I'm the one printing the name tags. Yep. And then I would look over, I'm like, well, that's like, you guys are getting paid to do this. So I spoke to my boss and told her I'd really rather be doing that kind of stuff. I got promoted 3 times in my first year. And then I was really just doing events for them for the rest of my career there. And it was a great learning experience. But I am the kind of person who gets bored really quickly. And so first year or two was really fun. And then I was like, okay, we're doing the same events over and over again. And that's when I started my Twitter account, Liz King Events at that time. And my business kind of was born from that. I started getting client inquiries and thought, I guess I could do my own thing here.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's a new one. I mean, most of the event profs, you know, that we speak with have transitioned from, you know, more general marketing roles to event roles. And it's the first time really I've seen someone, you know, move from career counseling into events.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't ever do like the official career counseling. I was just kind of like admin. So I guess, but yeah, I did make that transition. It was very interesting.
Yeah. Liz, tell me a little bit more about what you currently do with your consulting business and with Lisking Events. I'd love to hear about some of your interesting projects, you know, over the last couple of years, especially.
Yeah. So we've been doing virtual and hybrid events since 2010 when I started my business. And at that point, my business was like a side thing that I was doing while I was at Columbia. But we did our own event. Back then, it was called Planner Tech, and it was to introduce event tech to event planners. And we streamed it. And it was around then that I don't know if you remember or know about Event Camp that was very popular back then, but it was kind of this think tank that was created by other event profs to play with live streaming and virtual and hybrid events and really think through what that could look like. And that got me thinking. So we've been doing that for a long time. And so my business primarily is and has always been event planning for clients. We work with a lot of corporate clients, planning mostly conferences, and we've been involved in that kind of virtual and hybrid space. So especially in the last 2 years, what we've been seeing is a big uptick in association clients who then need to leverage virtual events to have events because they weren't able to with the pandemic. And thankfully, you know, I know that 2020, 2021 were some of the hardest years for most event profs. For us, they were our busiest years we've had because we already kind of had that brand out there. And we had flipped what I started as Planner Tech into Techie Talk. It became a community, really, of people, event planners. So we have a community. We have an annual conference. We do monthly educational events and lots of networking things. So that kind of gave me the brand that I needed that when in 2020, everyone started thinking, oh my gosh, we're supposed to do virtual. What is that? Thankfully, I was one of the names that came up. So
that's just amazing. I mean, you know, it seems, you've gotten so many things right from starting, you know, looking into virtual events from 2010 when nobody else would have thought you know, about doing virtual at all. And then, as you mentioned, you know, flipping Think Tank into Techsy Talk. So, you know, that's I think a good example of community building right there.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up building, you know, just the community I wanted. The things I wanted to learn about, I would say, yeah. Oh, I want to learn about that. Let's just do an event. Yeah. So it's benefited me for sure. I hope it's benefited other people as well.
No, and I think sometimes, you know, that's just the best way to go about things. I remember when I wanted to learn about SEO, and, you know, I just bought a book and just started trying it out on my own website. And, you know, then some of the concepts just came to life. So I think it's brilliant that you were able to find so much, you know, success with community building, right? Everybody's talking about it these days.
It is. Yeah. I'm before my time. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, you know, and you mentioned, you know, the last 2 years being, you know, very busy for you, and, you know, obviously you were well prepared for it. So what was it like? I mean, you know, my next question was going to be, how did you scale up personally, you know, through this big tsunami that really took us from what's a Zoom call to when's our next Zoom call? but you were obviously, you know, ready for all of this, and you were just like a busy bee through all of this.
But I, you know, what's changed for us over the last 2 years is that all the live streaming and virtual and hybrid events that we did pre-2020 mm-hmm. yeah. were kind yeah. of me like forcing it down our clients' throats and doing it ourselves out of curiosity. And really what we were doing is live streaming, and people really, the focus was on the in-person event, especially for our clients. Mm-hmm. So even when we were trying to get them to think differently about what to do, they weren't yep. so interested. And so, you know, the last 2 years has been a great shift because people have had to do it. And now they're thinking, oh, there's got to be more to this. And that's the exciting part for me is like, yes, we can finally start thinking about some yep. of those other yep. things. So we've learned a lot. The technology's changed a lot. Yep. The opportunities yep. have changed a lot. So we're learning a ton in the last 2 years, even with where we thought things we'd want them to go. I think we're mm-hmm. already mm-hmm. farther than where we were thinking a few years ago. And the other real big change.
Do you really think that the technology has changed you know, so much? Because, you know, to me, it really seems that, you know, it has a long way to go before it matures. You know, even though we have like a, you know, 300 or 400, you know, virtual event platforms out there, and, you know, most of them just seem to be grabbing features from one another.
Yeah. You know,
there are things like networking, which is still not possible very efficiently in a virtual event. Right. So, I mean, what do you think about that? And, you know, what is really the tech stack that you like to work with and recommend to your clients?
Yeah, I agree. I think that we have a very long way to go. When I say the kind of the jumps I've seen are pre-2020 and then post-2020, pre-2020, I mean, the 300 plus platforms you're talking about, no one yeah. was talking about them. It was kind yeah. of like yeah. even Zoom wasn't used mm-hmm. for events very frequently. There right. was a lot of live streaming, and that was kind of it. So mm-hmm. We've come a long way, meaning that people look to a platform. Mm-hmm. There is now networking, there's chat, there's Q&A, there's polling. I yep. agree that's yep. nowhere near where we need to be to make these successful, but right. that right. is the first jump that people had to have made. And so yep. that's where I kind of mean we've come, but mm-hmm. I agree we have a very long way to go. And the challenge, I think, is that planners are very anxious to go back to what they were doing pre-2020.
Right. Yep.
And so yeah, we're seeing a ton of turmoil in the event tech industry. All this money is flooding in, people are being mm-hmm. hired. And yep. now we're seeing the big companies like laying people off, and the money yep. is disappearing a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big mistake, but I think it's also, you know, we've talked a lot about that pendulum. It's swinging mm-hmm. back the other way. I yeah. think it will come back this way and yeah. be a little more in the middle. But I think the planners who are running back to in-person are really yeah. going to be sad that they've missed out on these opportunities the last.
You know, and, you know, that is going to be my next question. And I think you took the words right out of, you know, my mouth that, you know, we are going through a heartbreaking time in the event tech space. You know, we're seeing all these startups trying to amplify their growth and then ending up with layoffs, you know, the Visabos, yeah. the Hopins, et cetera. So what would be your advice to young event profs at this time looking to make a career with an event tech company?
Make your career in the event tech company. I think that these, you know, these layoffs are just what's yeah. happening right now because of right. these pendulum swingings. But what I think the events industry is missing is that human behavior has dramatically changed. Yeah. And yes, people will always crave in-person. I don't think in-person will ever be replaced by virtual. We've been saying that since 2009, yeah. 2008.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, there are a lot of meeting formats where virtual is more yeah. accessible. Yeah. It's easier. It does the same. Right. And I think all of those formats, which are basically what carries a company from annual event to annual event, all that fills that in is moving to virtual. People don't want to travel for a 2-hour networking event. They're not going to do it. So I think that these event tech companies had to staff up. They now have to adjust because the money is changing, but they will ramp up again as the needs change again.
Yeah, because I think you've taken all that money in and, you know, as you said, very correctly, in-person events are coming back. Virtual still has a need because, you know, people around the world can still attend these 2-hour conferences and, you know, meetings. But, you know, all that money that you've raised, really, I mean, you're not really going to the moon with that, right? I mean, there's only so much that you're going to want to build, which is pretty much enough for anyone to attend anything from around the world these days.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when and how long it will take event professionals to catch on. I think you said, you know, we're not the most forward-thinking industry all the time.
Yeah, I know.
So,
So what do you think currently, you know, the folks that you work with, your clients, you know, what is really the pulse that you see out there with people that you're working closely with? What are they really thinking about? Are they thinking about communities? Are they debating the pros and cons of in-person or virtual? Or are they, you know, struggling with the event tech?
I think a lot of our clients are kind of in this, I would say two of the things that you've thought about. One is in-person versus virtual. What should we be doing? And I think a lot of them want to be in-person and they're realizing, but we, you know, there were a lot of these perks over here that we want to take advantage of. And that leads them to the second challenge that they're facing, which is, but the event tech is really not that great. You know, it's like nice to have polling and Q&A, but it gets really annoying after a few times of doing it. And then, you know, you face the challenge. Our clients are facing the challenge of like, you can't change the platform every year on your attendees. They get very confused. They're using a lot of tech. So, you know, we are seeing more of our clients falling back to like a Zoom.
Yeah,
because their attendees know it. It's easy. Yeah. Their speakers understand it. And, you know, so it'll be interesting to see like how Zoom events eventually evolves and what it offers versus other virtual platforms. Yeah. I would love to see our clients thinking more about community and year-round programming. Yeah. Truthfully, I don't think they're there yet. I think that's what a lot of like industry insiders are talking about.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing it on the client side quite yet, at least our audience.
And, you know, I think we've up a little bit on event tech. having said that, I mean, do you have like a favorite platform that you like to use? Is it really Zoom? Is it something else? Do you want to toss a name out there? You know, I'm sure you'll get hit up by a lot of sales guys from there.
You know, we don't use Zoom that often, honestly. There are a lot of the production stuff that we would love to see our clients embrace just really still are not possible on a Zoom. But we do use it for some of our clients. We find that all of our clients have different needs and they use a variety of things. They use Swapcard, they use Hopin, they use, and because we're independent planners and we work with a variety of clients, we work with a variety of tools. I would say my favorite thing that we use is StreamYard, which is the production side. And most of the platforms don't have that built in. So we're working with that kind of like regardless of which platform our clients choose. Then another one is EVMUX, which is a very similar to StreamYard. We're just learning that one. They have definitely some better functionality for the events industry.
Hey, that's really cool. You know, I think I'm going to look up a couple of these. Haven't really come across them before. Liz, let's talk about event marketing in particular. You know, this podcast, Building Awesome Events, is geared towards event marketers, event marketing. Let's talk about the folks who are getting it right, you know, that you've seen personally with audience acquisition. What channels do you think are working for them? You know, what do you think is really the dependency of acquiring a healthy audience directly to the event programming, right? Because not everybody is going to be able to bring in Michelle Obama as a keynote, for example.
Yeah, I think this is where community is so important because, I mean, in terms of formatting, I think we are definitely seeing a lot of interest in that TikTok style content, really short format video content. Mm-hmm. And that seems to catch attention. I think the challenge that event marketers are facing is what does all that attention lead to? How do you get them to attend your events? And also the ownership of all that content. You know, we've seen lots of event marketers who build great platforms and then they get hacked overnight and it's all gone in one day.
Really? I never heard of that.
Oh, it happens all the time on every platform. Instagram, you know, you built your whole platform and then it's literally gone and they're not going to give it back to you. And so I've heard a lot of talk in the event marketing community about owning your audience? How do you get those email addresses? Once you have those email addresses, what are you doing with them? So email marketing, I've heard a lot about SMS marketing and community building, really, I think is a better way to look at that as compared to like push, but how are you giving value to your attendees through text? And these community platforms, how are you getting people off of, in our case, we're moving people out of our Facebook group and into a Circle community where we can better engage them. And that's really hard because they're not on Circle 24 hours a day looking at 5,000 notifications. But for at least for us, and I know our clients are thinking too, even if it's less engagement than we would have gotten on Facebook, it's more important engagement because they mean to be there. They want to be there, and it helps you kind of hone in on that value.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with that. And you know, it's very similar to the networking problem that, you know, again, a lot of these event tech platforms seem to have. I've attended a few events on Swapcard's platform. And for example, you know, every time I see what happens is that every time you make a connection, you know, you end up going out and, you know, sending an invite or a request to the other person on LinkedIn anyways, because, you know, that's like your primary Rolodesk, right? It's never going to be Swapcard, right? And unless, and you know, you find a way to integrate with LinkedIn, it's just very awkward, very weird, right? And you meet all these people, you know, and you have to go back to LinkedIn and sort of add them up in there.
Yeah, but if you think about it, that's not that different than an in-person event where you might go to a conference in person, meet all these people, get all these business cards, and then you got to take them back. And, you know, so I think what you're talking about would be great, but it's not that different than what's happening. I think the bigger issue with networking at virtual events is the formats of it, making a space. I love like a Twine, for example, the speed networking, but that's not the only way that people want to network. So integrating
Twine
that.
Twine is so cool, right? I mean, every time you do like a speed networking thing, the only thing is that you come up with someone that you really don't think you want to spend the next 10 minutes with, and then it becomes like a little bit of a horror show.
Yeah, you just got to make those things really short. I love the Twine, though, lets you kind of like rate your conversations at the end. Because, there have been times where I'm in a conversation, I'm like, don't put me with that person again. And you can actually do that on their platform, which is really great. But I think mixing that with like other formats, I'm keeping my eye on like spatial. I feel like the design of those is really lacking. I think there's some benefit there to just being able to like roam around a room and bump into people. And I think events should be doing all of those things, offering throughout your agenda different opportunities so that people can find a way to connect that's meaningful for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Liz, and our final question for today coming up, as you know, our startup is the world's first events review platform for B2B events. Tapping into social proof, allowing potential attendees to make informed participation decisions, and allowing event organizers to use all of the social proof to grow their own event brands. So what does really social proof mean to you? And have you seen it work, you know, within the context of your own work and clients?
Yeah, social proof is, it's so important, right? Because people do things because other people they know, like and trust, do things. And so that could be something really stupid, like, you know, I don't know, trying to suffocate yourself from something you saw on TikTok, or it could be something more meaningful, like attending a great event. So I think that it's hugely important. I mean, I would love, you know, this is a much bigger conversation. I would love for us to like not be so reliant on social feedback as a society, but that's not the way we are. People very much want that. And so I think it's great to be able to see who else is going to this event, who's been in the past, and what do they think of it? What are the best ways to tap into the good stuff at that event? I mean, every event has pros and cons. I know from an event organizer standpoint, that's really a challenge because you can plan the best event and have Mr. Grumpy Pants in the corner who has something to complain about the food or the networking. And so, you know, the quality, the quantity, I think is important to show the quality. Enough people who are saying this event is really great or it's really not worth your time. And so I think it's important. And we have definitely seen from as little as, you know, when you register for an event, there's that little box that's like, here's other people, you know, on LinkedIn who are going. I'm more likely to click reserve if that box is filled with people I want to meet with.
Hey, that's a very interesting point of view, Liz. You know, and I think really what used to be, you know, word of mouth earlier, maybe for our parents' generation is an online review these days, right? You might not really have the time to ask friends about, you know, what's going on, what are the events that they like, but it becomes that much easier to just, you know, hop onto a platform and look at a bunch of reviews.
Yeah, although sometimes, you know, we don't need to hear everybody's opinion about everything.
I know. Absolutely. Well, that being said, Liz, we come to an end today on our podcast here today. And thanks a lot for being on our show. It was real fun having you. I hope we can do this again soon.
Yes, thank you so much.